May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Earlier this week, we used a verse from Mark and also from 2 Chronicles, just talking about the issue of faith and that the opposite of faith, the opposite of fear isn't courage, but the opposite of fear is faith. And that when Jehoshaphat was facing these three opposing armies that were overwhelming, and he cried out to God in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, "Lord, we're powerless against this great multitude. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And he was waiting to hear from the Lord. And God raised up a prophet as they were fasting to hear a word from the Lord concerning the situation. And the prophet basically said to him, "God says to you, don't be afraid or be dismayed because of this great multitude. The battle's not yours, but God's." And then he said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go face life. I want you to go face the situation, knowing that the battle's God's and not yours." He said, "All you need to do is go face the situation and in your heart station yourself and stand and see the salvation of God on your behalf." And I wanted to share a couple of things just about the operation of faith. There's this amazing dynamic. This is verse 17 of that chapter. It says, "You don't need to fight in this battle. Station yourself, stand, see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord's with you." And again, what we said was that if you find yourself in fear and dismay, it's simply because you're trying to fight a battle, either internally or externally, either through anxiety or effort, instead of trusting Him. Now, again, it doesn't mean you just sit in your chair and say, "Okay, God, go fight the battle." God said, "Get up and go face life," but with an attitude of faith. And this is what that looks like. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the sons of Kohathites and the sons of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His word, and you will succeed." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising the Lord, God set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they kept moving forward, kept just showing up for life. They looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods and garments and valuables, things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking up the spoil. They were so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named the place the Valley of Berakah until the day. The word Berakah just means blessing. And valleys usually indicate scriptures, hard places, battles, difficult times. And yet, here's a difficult time that became a time of blessing. As a matter of fact, when the situation was ended, they carried away all these riches and spoils. It took them 3 days to gather up all the stuff. They couldn't even carry all of it. Now, here was the battle plan. This is what they knew. God said, "You go out and face them. The battle's mine, not yours. You don't need to fight this fight. You just show up for life. You just show up for the battle. That's all you need to know." Well, he didn't have God's game plan. God didn't give him any ideas. I hate it when it's like that, don't you? It's easy for me to trust God when He gives me detailed information about how He's going to make this thing work. That makes me a co-partner with God. But He doesn't need me as His co-pilot, trust me. And And he doesn't like it when I try to take over the wheels. He's not obligated to give you info. We don't learn to live by faith if we do that. All they knew is go out and face them. God's going to fight the battle. So it says that they go out to face the Lord. They're worshiping God. They praise God with a very loud voice. And it says, he tells them, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes. It's interesting timing, isn't it? God had given a promise. The battle was his. But he waited in anticipation of them behaving with an anticipation of a God-given victory that they hadn't even seen yet. That's how faith works. If you have to see it to believe it, that's not faith. But we have two sets of eyes. There's the eyes in our head. Thank God for them. But Ephesians says the eyes of our heart. And the eyes of our heart see differently. They see from heaven's perspective. And in the situations of life, here's the thing you need to know. The battles are God's and not yours. You don't need to wait to anticipate seeing how he's going to do it to believe. In anticipation that God's going to do it, however it is he's going to do it, you need to believe. And God waited on a faith that acted like it was so, even though it wasn't so, so that he could move in on their behalf. It became so in the sight realm. That's the way faith works. In anticipation of their faith, which was an anticipation of his victory, God moved in action. But he didn't move in action until they began singing and praising God for a victory, a God-given victory already won, though they couldn't see it yet or see how he's going to do it yet. It wasn't until then that God moved into action. That's the way faith works. In every area of the Christian life. Remember we talk about this principle, if God's grace is sufficient, if the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that covers every category. Marriage grace, friendship grace, work grace, temptation grace, getting old grace. That's a lot of grace getting old, I'm telling you. For the God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you that you always already having all sufficiency for all things may abound to every good work. Faith doesn't ask. Faith doesn't pray hoping that God will help. Faith doesn't believe that God can. Faith trusts, acts, and talks like he already is, though I can't see it yet. And the result will be, well, you will walk out of the valley, and it'll be a God-given victory, and it may not look anything like you thought it was going to look like, but you'll walk away rich spiritually. You'll carry out of that valley treasures that have eternal value. And you'll always look back and go, man, that was worth it. It never seems worth it going into the valley. But if you'll walk by faith, you'll walk out always thinking that was worth it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.